The word vaccines comes from Latin word vaccinus and vacca, which means a cow. Because of the early use of cowpox virus against smallpox virus in late 18th century, when very first vaccine was developed against smallpox. Hello everyone, welcome to Pete Pod. This is the podcast where you get up-to-date information on common problems related with health of all children. In the last few years, we have seen a resurgence of vaccine-preventable diseases in the United States, especially measles. And today's podcast is dedicated to dispelling myths about vaccines and to understand the importance of vaccines. As pediatricians, at the front line of this issue, today we are welcoming three pediatric experts. I have Dr. Jesus Pinado. He's a director of a pediatric residency program in Texas Tech University at El Paso, and an associate professor of pediatrics. And I have Dr. Carmen Prieto. She is a division chief of ambulatory pediatrics, director of well baby unit, and an assistant professor of pediatrics here in Texas Tech University, El Paso. And also I have Dr. Sinan Antoine, who's assistant professor and assistant program director of pediatric residency in Providence Hospital and also works in Texas Tech University. So begin with the first question, and I'll give it to Dr. Carmen Prieto. The first question that most of the people would want to know is, do vaccines cause autism?
There was a study reported in 1998 that created a link between the vaccination against measles, mumps, and rubella and the association with autism. So that study has been largely benign or inaccurate. However, that initial study in 1998 created such a fanaticism about it, and that has up to this time, even though there's many other ones that have shown that it's not there isn't a relationship between autism and the vaccination, still people is very scared of it. But to answer your question, no, there isn't a relationship between autism and vaccination.
I know what you're talking about. This is Dr. Andrew Wakefield.
That's correct.
Who created all the mess after he's published his study, which was completely debunked by all medical societies. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an important point to make, that vaccines do not cause autism. The second question I would give it to Dr. Pinado. Most of the parents that I see, they usually tell me that infant immune system is too immature and they cannot handle so many vaccines at one time. What do you have to say to that?
You know, there are many published studies, you know, discussing, you know, vaccine safety, you know, in children, and still others may simply have a few basic questions. Now, on parents whose primary concern is the number of injections and if the immune system can handle, you know, those vaccinations, we can simply, you know, answer that, you know, it is not the number of injections. It is, you know, the actual component of the vaccine that can be used in combination vaccines. So then that usually will decrease the number of injections. Now, regarding the immune system, you know, it is being proven that, you know, even, and it is a fact, you know, that neonatal immune system theoretically could respond to up to 10,000 vaccines at a time. We can just explain to the parents that, you know, all vaccines can be given at the same time, but that might not affect their immune system or the ability of the child to fight off infection, and that the immune system is going to build up immunity against those specific vaccines.
But I think he brings up an important point, and a parent should realize that number of vaccines given at a time do not cause any harm to the child. The next question I want to give you to Dr. Antoine. Some parents sometimes, especially in this current DNA age, think that natural immunity is better than the vaccine-acquired immunity. How do we address that?
We know that worldwide there's about 20 million cases of measles and about 164,000 deaths each year. And the rate of the adverse outcome after natural infection is also high. So that's when we compare the risk associated with the natural disease, and the vaccines emerge as a clear choice. Fortunately, the number of children who are not receiving any vaccines has remained below 1% in the past decade, which is reassuring. Now, on the other hand, any adverse health outcome that occurs in the first 2 years of child's life most likely will occur in the child who is vaccinated. Parents must be reminded that the temporal association between vaccines and the adverse effect does not mean that the association is casual.
So in other words, that for a parent to wait for a child to get the disease, that statement is false and it actually can be harmful for the child. The next question again goes back to Dr. Prieto. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add something in regards to the previous question. And that is that it is true that immunity from the actual disease, it's more permanent than the one that you can create from vaccination. But as Dr. Antoine had stated, the risk really did not outweigh the benefits of it.
Exactly. I completely agree with that. With that, do vaccines contain unsafe toxins in them?
There's been a link that in general the population has made with some the preservatives that have been used or are used in some of the vaccines to preserve the component, the viral component or the particles of the viruses that will create them immunity in kids. And even though some of them are obviously toxics, the amount that has been included into the vaccines is not really of any harm for the children. However, some of those have been reduced to the minimum, and some others have been even eliminated from the vaccines. So, no, to answer your questions, there's no harmful or toxics included in vaccines nowadays.
When you go to the internet, you find a lot of things on it, and one of the websites which is out there is by a physician, Dr. Mercola, and he talks about that better hygiene and sanitation are actually responsible for decreased infections and not the vaccines. How do you respond to that, Dr. Pinado?
All right, so then sanitation and hygiene, you know, may decrease, you know, the incidence of transmission and may help to prevent disease. But vaccines are one of the most successful public health interventions of all time. So then we don't see vaccine preventable diseases not because hygiene and sanitation. We don't see them because vaccination has been effective. And here in the US, we are at all-time lows as far as significant morbidity and mortality because of the vaccinations. Now, as far as, you know, the internet, you know, is a useful resource that we can use, but most of the anti-vaccine or vaccination web pages are created by anti-vaccine groups, which you know people might differ, you know, a little bit based on personal beliefs, based on you know, experiences that they have had in the past, and they may not consider, you know, the evidence base, you know, that we have, you know, regarding on how effective vaccinations are at.
We see these parents who refuse vaccines. How do you convince those people who refuse vaccine? And I will give to Dr. Antoine.
Now, my approach, and also a lot of my colleagues in care, is to talk to the parents, and it's inclusion rather than exclusion of the parents. Like, we'll sit down and we'll discuss with the parents what is their concerns, rather than we said, oh, there's another headache, or here we go again. For us, our approach is to let's sit down, let's talk about it, let's see what is the main concern, and then we can address it. Most of the time over here, it's okay, the vaccines, too many vaccines are given. So we'll go and sit down and say, okay, those are the diseases that we're looking at, and those are, we'll be hoping we'll do a combination rather than a single shot. Some of the parents, they said it's, and again, as in the previous questions, it's too many vaccines at the same time. But again, the way we address it is, it's inclusion, sit down, talk with the parents, and then we'll in the majority of times, I would say we were successful in reaching our goal, which is the same goal that the parents has, is the for the kids to grow up healthy.
Yeah, I think it's important for us as physicians to communicate that not just the parents, but us also are very invested in the health of the children. And we both are on the same team, essentially. With that said, I would like to switch gears and come to something that's happening recently in a country in the United States, that there has been a resurgence of anti-vaccine movement around the country. And let's talk about our own state, Texas. There are currently four bills in state of Texas which are trying to chip away some vaccines, protection for kids. And how do you deal with when the political scenario in our country is not actually listening to the science behind it? Anybody can take that question.
It's a very difficult situation for all of us. We are old school physicians. And of course, we have seen throughout the years the benefits of vaccination. Back in my country, from where I'm from, in Central America, I got to see all these conditions in the form fully developing in children. So, and also along with it, some of the side effects. So for me, it's hard to believe that anybody does not want to protect their children against this, you know, some of these horrible conditions, or, you know, not necessarily horrible, but that could cause that can cause a lot of pain and side effects. But it's not so unlikely when you have never seen them. So if you've never seen them and you've never been in the presence of them, you don't believe that it's so bad and it could cause so much pain and problems, right, with your children. So just to focus and answer your question, I think that when you're dealing with the political situation, is major issues that we really cannot address in our daily living. We will have to be doing it day by day with the patients that come across us. So hopefully in the future, population will get to understand without having to get to the outbreak an epidemic of any of the conditions that we are now being able to prevent. So hopefully population will be able to understand that, and then again will get back on track on the benefits of vaccination. I'm not sure if that answered your question.
No, I think it tries to hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. Is there anything, Dr. Antoine?
Let me just add something else. I think it's from our side as a physicians, we need also to be more an active role in reaching, as what Dr. Prieto is saying, it's also reaching the parents. But then we use the tools that we have nowadays through social media, through the different ways to reach out the people, and also to reach out, be more active and be more involved in talking with the politician or people who are making decisions. Because if they hear it from us, which is a reliable resource, rather than from different lobbying groups or people who are with special interest. Now, we're the one who's on the ground, and we're the one who's seeing what those diseases can cause. So be more involved as leaders in our community also will help to reach up the goals and reach up those the politician and make the real difference.
Yeah, I do agree with Dr. Prieto and Antoine. So we need to be, the ones that are advocating for, the children, which will be at the end, the affected ones, in case that they contract, the natural disease because parents, refused vaccination when the child was due for vaccinations. And one thing about the advocacy that we need to do, we need to do it at a local, regional, state, and national level. following, you know, the scientific evidence that vaccinations work.
You're absolutely right. That the scientific evidence is overwhelmingly for vaccines, and there are a lot of misinformation out there, and I'm sure parents are coming to you as well to ask this question, where should they go and get their information from? There are hundreds of websites and hundreds of books as well. So which, tell me two books that you would say, tell me two resources you'll say a parent should go to look for to get the information from.
I will see that one of the main ones that we go to is the CDC website, and also the American Academy of Pediatrics website. Those are the one of the two main resources that the parents can use. We use it on a routine basis on professional level to get the most updated things about vaccines, and though also it included a lot of revisions on scheduling, side effects, reported side effects if there's any, or any changes in the disease status within the country. So those are the two main ones that it's trusted and scientifically.
So the final question that I would put to all of you is, should I vaccinate my own child? What is your answer to that question?
Absolutely.
You have to.
Absolutely.
The answer is a resounding yes. Yeah. And with that, I thank all of you for coming on this podcast. Hopefully, we will be able to dispel some of the myths that are out there and create an atmosphere which is conducive to the vaccines. I thank you once again, Dr. Pinado, Dr. Antoine, and Dr. Prieto. And thank you to all the listeners who are listening on iTunes, YouTube, and the websites. Feel free to reach out to me with your questions and answers and comments, and we'll try to include that in the next episode. Thank you very much.